week we covered some big truths, which were the Spirit of God in us is greater, right? Amen to that. Anybody say amen to that? Spirit of God is greater than what? Than he that is in the world. That's an important truth. And then the other thing is the inner man is renewable. That's both a positive, great affirmation. Praise God that we can be renewed in the inner man, and we all need to be renewed. But then there's another part of it, it's a little more sticky, which is we have to be renewed. You can't just one and done it. You have to keep being filled. So there's a responsibility there too. But the inner man is renewable. Anybody want to say amen to that? Amen. And then this was encouraging too. There is strength in your weakness. Wow. Strength in your weakness. I love that too. strength in your weakness. I think that reminds me of the first point, which is weakness is something that all of us deal with. So there's strength in our weakness, and there's weakness for everybody. And there we have all four truths. When I say that there is strength in your weakness, I think the reality is you have to know where you can't do things and where God must be the thing you rely on. Amen? And I look at that and I think, well, that's where we come to this. How do we have strength in our inner man? And we've already said it, but I'll reiterate it one more time. All of this is a work of the Holy Spirit. Every bit of this is a work of the Holy Spirit. We cooperate with the Holy Spirit in this, but it's ultimately, you got to settle it. You can't strengthen your inner man. The Holy Spirit does. Okay? That's important. As much as I love doing things that refresh my physical self and my mental state, that isn't enough to strengthen my inner man. So for me, like I just did a bike ride the other day, 2 days ago, that I just rode because I just needed to ride. Anybody ever feel that? I just needed to ride. And I rode and rode and rode until my shirt was sweat out. And then I found a bench way far down on the trail. And then I just sit there and my prayers sounded like this. Yeah. Oh, you're good. You're good, God. Did that for about 20 minutes. Then I jumped back on the bike and sweated again. And it was just amazing. If it was just the bike ride, I would have found some benefit from it. My blood would have been going and I felt real good. But if I didn't at least have a little bit of, I got to turn my attention to the Lord, there would be a lack. It still wouldn't be refreshing. And so those are just some of the days. Those are my Band-Aid days. Because that isn't enough. And there are those days where I feel the same grogginess that I would normally respond by going and doing something like that. And I know, oh, this is going to be a distraction. Today, it is not biking and, blah, God, I love you day. This is, I need to clear the church. Same workout. My blood gets going and at the end, I feel just as exhausted physically. But man, I'll tell you, my spirit feels so renewed. And I'm usually on those days, I'm dumping everything that's yucky out so that God can fill me with everything that is good. I just have to be renewed, and it takes work. So when I say that this is all a work of the Spirit, I'm actually saying, if you rely on your gimmicks and your wisdom and your earthly hot yoga times to refresh your inner man, it's not going to work. So all of the time up north isn't going to refresh your inner man. All of the time doing the things that we enjoy have a short shelf life. You need something far more powerful. You need resurrection power, renewing your inner man. And us strong people, because up in the north, we are strong. We tend also to rely in our own strength then. And we view this type of neediness as weakness, and we try and avoid it. So altar times at church can be very awkward for us strong northerners. I don't know what to do. I don't want everybody to think I'm crying like, you know, I got sin everywhere. You know, or something? Or if I go down and cry, they're going to what? Think my marriage is on the brink? Or I'm on drugs again? Wait, did I say that out loud? And I say all that stuff. I don't know, but what are they going to think? You know? And so there's a lot of weird stigma with all this stuff. We got to get all past that because you need strength in the inner man. Acting tough doesn't fix it. And doing all these earthly gimmicks and crutches doesn't fix it. You need Jesus. Amen. So that was kind of the first thing, and it requires a waiting on God and a hoping in God and doing all that. But here's where we kind of started to wrap up last week and where I'm going to pick up. We talked about the Word of God. We talked about pursuing righteousness, guarding the heart, prayer. I just mentioned these things. And here's where I want to focus today's message on. So let's first touch on the Word. In Psalm 119:50, it says this, that my comfort in my times of affliction is that your word has revived me. That your word has revived me. Last week I mentioned how we're not supposed to live on bread alone, but at every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Let me pack it all together in this way. Like how we transition from worship into kind of coaching about the word of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, when we come together, is here. And when the Holy Spirit is here, where God is here, He gives to the church things that need to build them up. He gives pastors, amen, prophets, evangelists, teachers. I mean, all of these, there are so much. The apostles kind of rack, you know, in there too. I mean, all these different major gifts, but there's so much more that the Holy Spirit gives. And the Holy Spirit gives to every single person unique gifts and different mixtures of stuff. And not everyone in this room is meant to be a prophet or an evangelist or work in all these things all the time. Everyone in this room has the capacity, but not everybody has the calling, the invitation that you're to answer. So can everyone in this room have a gift of faith in the working of miracles? Yes, we all have the capacity. But don't believe this humanistic culture that creeps into the church, that every one of us is supposed to do everything in the Spirit. That sets you up for great disappointment, and it's not in Scripture. If that's hard for you to swallow, that's okay. There's a lot in the Bible that's hard for me to swallow. But I did not say you can't see it. I said it's not designed that everyone works in all these gifts. That's just crazy talk. But every one of us has the potential to move in the powers and the giftings of the Holy Spirit. Every one of us could give a word of prophecy. Every one of us could pray and see a cancer fall off of somebody's body or a leg grow out. Every one of us could. But don't put the pressure that everyone should. Thank you for those three amens. Some of us have been living under pressure so much. I'm trying to point out the reason why you are struggling even in your next stage of development. You have made all this stuff about the Holy Spirit too much about your performance and your ego and your calling and your identity. It is all about you. And my message to you then is this: get over yourself. Get over your past. Get over all the things you've gone through. God's Spirit isn't your maidservant to shape according to what you decide. God gave you strength to get over whatever you went through, but that doesn't mean from here on out that's the only way He's going to work. Why don't you be the servant of God and not God be your servant? Now what that does is that means there's no ego. So when you come to church, even if you're the great apostle, holy miracle worker, ordained, blah, 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 you could really just be comfortable being the toilet scrubber. And God might do a miracle because you're just scrubbing the toilets. So we got to throw all these selfish agendas and everything away and just be cool to be humble and real. So this word of the Lord, though, when we're together and the Holy Spirit is moving, there is something that we miss when we don't allow the word of the Lord to be spoken in this church. We've got to let it be spoken. That word of the Lord has got to be a now word, like for this moment. That's why I coached like I did before. Because when we go week after week and we get kind of familiar with the way God speaks, I'm going to be real with you this morning, okay? Gary, I love you. Gary, I love you. Dana, I love you. Dave, I love you. All of you guys, I love you. Don't take this wrong. But I'll tell you, if Gary is the only one to speak, then I get used to Gary's words and the way that Gary speaks. And I tell you, even before he speaks, I tell you, there's going to be at least one phrase of, I love you, I'm here. Now, does that dismiss the work of the Lord? It can. This is why we have to be, some of you are like, holy crap, he's talking about this in church right now. He's saying things that I think, but I don't want to talk about. Because I don't want to embarrass anybody. You know what? This is so real. This is like family room stuff. Guys, if we always relate to the Lord only in the same ways, it gets stale and old and boring. And as a, I don't want it. I don't want it. That's where I love when God says, hey, you know what? This church really does need me, but I can't fit in this old wineskin they keep trying to stuff me in. I just don't work like that today. I want to do something else. And then he shakes it up, and you get somebody. They come in, and they do it, and you are like, God would never use them, and he would never say those words, and he would never do it in the way. Well, what when he does? What does that do? Then it shakes everybody up, and they're like, well, maybe God's bigger than what I was used to. Yes. And so sometimes God has to come in and shake us up. So praise God, shake us up, because we need a now word, not a word we've heard over and over and over again in the same way. Why? Because we're not listening anymore. It's called selective hearing. Husbands know this. I don't want selective hearing with God, right? I remember Verna Tompkins was telling me one time how she was in a meeting and she was the guest speaker and she was going to be able to share and stuff. And she's waiting on the stage to get up and speak. And while they're worshiping, then their time of like prophetic word happens. And there was always this one guy who would stand up and do a old school, yea, thus saith the Lord. And he would begin to go. Well, this particular day, he got up and said, yea, verily, I am not speaking in this house. And then he sat down. And so the pastor of the church who invited Ivern in just went, keep going to the worship, like, keep going. That's kind of a weird thing. You don't transition to the guest speaker after, yea, verily, I'm not speaking. And now welcome Iverna Tompkins to speak. And she's like, well, evidently there's nothing to say. So she's like, you know, so she's sitting there going, this is great. Obviously, they weren't feeling the tone of the Spirit, and it wasn't edifying in any sense. And so they kind of worshiped again, went and sang the chorus one more time. And then the guy stands up and does the same thing, but in a slightly different way. Hey, Marilee, I'm telling you, I have left. I am no longer speaking. And then he sits down. And it is getting crazy awkward. So Iverna is going, well, I'm the guest speaker. I'm going to stand up and say something, but I don't want to usurp authority here. The poor pastor's stressing. The pastor, she sees him. He's like, church, let's just pray. And so then everybody starts praying. And everybody's trying to worship and trying to get over what just happened. Everybody's being nice. And everything, but man, this poor old guy just does all the same things. And he said the key words, yea, verily, or whatever. And so he stops praying, and yes, a third time, he stands up, and he goes, yea, and just as he starts to say, yea, verily, a handicapped kid in the same church, about 15, 16 years old, stands up, and at the top of his lungs says, if I'm no longer speaking, who the hell's doing all the talking? This is in church. This is in church. I'm telling you. And the guy who was yea verily a few seconds ago went. And everybody in the church does this. Look at it. And everybody takes a beat. It was like Comedy Central. They all went beat. Bah! And the tone of the whole church shifted because one individual spoke up a rhema word in that moment to say, stop being so churchy religious, sit yourself down and let me speak. And Iverna got up and the joy of the Lord filled that place. There was so much of a move. She goes, man, it was great. I almost want to take that sweet handicapped kid with me everywhere we went. It's like, hey, say whatever comes on your mind right now. You know, like that. I mean, it was such a good thing that God did in that. All of this to say, very important words. When God is moving and speaking, every service can be a special occasion. But it takes individual members expecting God to speak and having the maturity to know how to step out and give that word of encouragement and be able to coach each other and love each other, because you will get it wrong and it's okay. You will get up and say whatever and it's just not out of the right heart maybe, or it's not the right time, or all that, and it's okay. But what do we want to do? We want to hunger and thirst for God, and we don't want to stop the word of the Lord, because when the word of the Lord comes, if you were an unbeliever but you were so needy and you wanted to find if God is real, you show up to a church like ours and you sit there and you're thinking, man, I just want to know if this God stuff is even real. I mean, I can obviously tell these people are passionate. And then the word of the Lord comes. And that word of the Lord has some word of knowledge in it. And someone is saying, I know that there is a man in this room right now who is struggling. And you have been doing this and this. And then you have tried. And they're listing things. And the sweat is starting to pour down that person's face. And their stomach is starting to feel all the burble, collywobbles? Collywobbles is the word. It's a good word. I try and use it now a lot. Collywobbles. It's going. You're feeling the nervous butterflies. And you know that God is real. And he is moving in that place because of a word that was spoken. That kind of stuff is what I long to see more of. How do we get there? Well, we've got to strengthen our inner man. So how you can strengthen your inner man is also you start letting the word of God dictate your terminology and your kind of message. So just taking a scripture and telling someone a scripture is not the same thing as taking the scripture, paraphrasing it in your mind, and speaking it to the situation that's actually going on. So just to say things like, well, the Lord says, love your neighbor as yourself. You could quote that. But if you're not putting that in the context of what's really going on, you could come across very cold, insensitive, harsh, or just completely out of it. You might be right in the purest sense, but you have no bedside manner if you're a doctor. And that's horrible. So in church, you've got to be able to let Scripture permeate your soul enough so that when you do want to encourage, something gets stirred up, you want to share it, that you're not speaking something that isn't in the Bible. You're actually spies, and he was talking to Pharisees, scribes, teachers of the law. He's like, I want you to know that the letter of the law kills, but the words I'm speaking to you are life. The words I'm speaking to you have spirit in it. Did God speak anything that contradicted Old Testament theology and Scripture? No. He was paraphrasing it and speaking it with freshness. So we need people that know the Scripture but are willing to paraphrase it with freshness and speak it to the moment right now. That takes a little bit of growing. So commit to the Word of God and strengthening your inner man. And man, how many of you wouldn't be excited to come to church if you know God might speak to you very personally today? Boy, isn't that encouraging? Whew. I've had that happen so many times. My goodness, I just love it. I'm going to be going over with Bill Davis to Minnesota for a prophetic conference here in another couple weeks. And he called me and he said this to me. He said, "Old Ben, I know Petraea can't come with you and stuff." And he's like, "I just don't know. Do you even want to go anymore?" And I said, "Bill, stop." Yes. I was like, "Bill, I mean, it's not like I want to go away from Petraea. I'm going to be alone with the Lord and I have to go. I need to hear." He's like, "Oh, that's great. Oh," and he's like, "Now I'm excited." I'm like, "Yes, me too. And don't call me with this negative stuff anymore." No, I didn't tell him that. He's probably going to listen today about it, so, you know, like that. But I was like, I am so excited, and here's the reason. Because I know that the word of the Lord is life to my bones. So anytime I can get around someone who is active and willing to share what God said, man, that just, I already like, hey, you never know what's going to happen. Could be cool or scary, but it's all exciting. You know, you just love it. So I want that more and more. But let's move on to a couple other things that I think are very, very important. No, I can't move on. Is it already? Dear Lord, Scott's going, cut it off, it's time. This is the second week I've tried to preach these points, and I ain't to them yet. This is wrong. We're going to have words. I'm going to have to wrap it up like this then. I heard a quote. I'll just keep it on the Word of God then. I heard a quote that said, we don't get filled up just by reading the menu or the cookbook. We don't get filled up by just reading the menu or the cookbook. We have to eat the food. And how does that apply? In Hebrews, it says it in chapter 4, verse 2, that the Word of God doesn't benefit those who don't mix it with faith. So let's just cap today's message off with this. Church, we can call ourselves visible, but that is a reference loosely to an Old Testament phenomenon, the Shekinah of God, the visible representation of God's presence. And throughout Scripture and even into the New Testament, boy, the presence of the Lord would, in one instance in Acts, it shook the place. It shook the place. Is that something that everybody would know? You bet. In one instance in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit appeared as tongues of fire and split over every person in the room, about 120. In many instances, like when Cornelius was filled with the Holy Spirit, he had been doing all kinds of things in preparation. He was going after God. He was hungry. And then while the preaching is happening, something visible took place. People start speaking in tongues. People start prophesying in tongues. Wow, would that be seen? Would that be visible? You bet that would be. What am I hungry for? I'm wanting us to take steps of faith. Mix the things we read in Scripture with obedience. Do something with it. So with everything that's gone on today, I want you to be thinking, well, what am I supposed to do with a message like this? Pastor Ben just stood up there and rambled on about the Spirit and all this kind of stuff. Some of it was funny. Some of it I want to forget. But you know what? What are you going to do with today's message? I would challenge you, take the Word of God, chew on it this week, and if you come to services on Wednesday nights, if you come to prayer on Thursday nights, if you're going to be here next week, come with an expectation that God can use you. Come with an expectation that God could speak an encouraging word through you. Come with this idea that you could pray for someone and you don't have to sound churchy. Okay? I mean, this is great stuff. And it doesn't matter your age. I'm telling you, you are in the perfect season for God to use you. Your experience with God, you don't have to be someone that has walked with the Lord for 30 years away. Brand new saved. And God can begin to move through you in a special way. So be open to that. That invitation you might feel stir up and bubble in your heart and your mind where you're like, man, I feel like I should share this. Well, don't squash that. Camp on that. Think about it. Would this encourage? Does it fit the tone of the service? I don't know. Well, then come ask Trish. Come ask one of these seasoned Christians. Go put your arm around Gary. Gary, this is what I feel God sharing. And say, do you think it'd be good? I'll give you $10 if he doesn't say, that's exactly what I was about to go say. because he may be hearing it already. So take some steps of faith like that. Let's stand together. I want to pray, and we're going to close it out. Paige asked me last night, what you preaching on tomorrow? And she goes, how many more times are we going to be able to speak on the Holy Spirit? And I was like, I don't know. I got three more in the, you know, in the thing. Well, now I am up. If it's at this rate, we will continue to talk about the Holy Spirit until New Year's, because it's like, I can't get... Well, I just know that this is a timely word. I believe that the Lord is stretching us. And if you're just coming to the church now, it's a new season of church. I think the Lord is really getting us ready to just do more than I could put into words, is really what it is. And it's an exciting time. Well, I'll pray that Ephesians prayer. Ephesians 3:16. Oh, that God, you would grant everyone in this room, according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with power, dynamite power, through your Spirit. Holy Spirit, come and strengthen each and every one of us in the inner man. Say yes and amen to that. Amen. All right. Well, praise God.
His name, another same, your gospel.